Hi, middle-aged gamer. So you've seen lots and lots of gaming trailers drop. You've seen things on YouTube, things on Steam, pretty much wherever you are as a gamer. You've seen interesting things pop up. What are you excited about? Let us know, right? Hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/gamingage. You can even send us a message on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/magedgaming, like beige, like wizard and gaming. And yeah, today we're talking about games. Game trailers, no news today. These are all kind of news items, really, but we're talking about games we're excited about, and I'm excited about a lot of these. We're going to go Adam, Antoine, and then myself first. Today is going to be a little bit showy in some sense. This is going to capture some of these for YouTube, or I'm going to capture some of these for YouTube. So if you're watching this on the live stream, you're like, hey, why are these guys acting crazy? Because we're making wonderful, awesome, sexy YouTube shorts to bring in the views and eventually get monetized. And there's something I got to tell the guys about as well, but I'll talk about that later. So Adam is first. What is your first exciting, wonderful game?
My first exciting, wonderful game is Starfield, which was not announced, but we were talked about it. And yeah, it looks really good. We got an official date on it. It comes out in September, and everything is looking wonderful. There are some things that I was a little bit concerned about, though, but we'll talk about that in a second. So first of all, the good. We're looking at ship customizations. There are lots of options. They showed a lot of different things you can do. You can build things all over the place, put them left, front, center, wherever you want, put it all over the place. We have weapon customization. You can customize your weapons now. You can put different kinds of bullets in it. If you want a gun with explosive rounds, go ahead and do that. If you want a gun that's just going to use regular rounds, go ahead and do that. Also, the weapons are going to be really important for when you're fighting in zero G or regular gravity. For example, physical weapons when you're in zero G are going to cause some kickback. So you're actually going to be able to propel yourself by shooting your gun, which one thing that they did point out was that if you're using an energy weapon, that's not going to have any sort of recoil when you're in space. But what was weird was the guy is still recoiling when he shoots. It just doesn't push him back. I don't know. They didn't think that one through. But also, when you're building, base building is still going to be a big thing. And obviously, same with your ship building. So now they've decided, hey, you know what? We need a camera. That's going to be a big deal. So now you don't have to build everything from the ground. You can actually get an overhead view when you're building. That's really cool. And of course, the big thing is going to be combat with space combat. You can fight in space and you can dock with other ships and you can steal them. So if you want to be a space pirate, you can literally just go over there. You can dock with another ship, run inside, blast everyone away, and then fly off into the great unknown with your new ship that you've captured and add it to your armada. All right. But there were some things that had me a little bit concerned. This might be a little bit, I might consider this a bad thing. Not everybody might consider it this way. So first of all, planets are randomly generated. That is something that they said. So for example, if I am playing the game and Krian is playing the game, if we go to the same planet, it's not going to be the same for both of us. Krian is going to see different things on that planet than I will. And so these planets are truly, what's the word? Procedurally generated. They are not handcrafted. And from what they've shown, a lot of these planets do just look like giant rocks floating in space. Very flat, very rocky, not very exciting. So we are going to see a lot of that. Most of those planets, though, are going to be for the purpose of mining. But what they did say is that because of this randomly generated aspect, what you're going to be able to do is when you go onto a planet, there are events that can basically spawn. You could get there and land, and there could be an abandoned building with a person who's injured inside, and now this person needs you to basically save them because they were attacked by pirates. And Krian's planet might not even have that building. It might not even exist on Krian's planet. So this has me a little bit concerned for a couple of reasons. First of all, because if you look at older games, Fallout New Vegas, especially for me, was a personal problem. I know other people have had problems with Oblivion or Skyrim. These worlds are so large that typically what Bethesda's solution was, we just had the game, and then as you go through the game, we have to save all these details, and that led to save bloat, where your save files would get bigger and bigger. The more of the world you explored, the more data it had to keep track of, because it doesn't have to keep track of stuff you've never seen before. So because of that, your save data would get so big that the game started to get laggy. It started to have a lot of issues. So save bloat was a really huge issue in older Bethesda titles. And the fact that these are completely procedurally generated and then generated upon your arrival worries me that save bloat could be another issue here as you visit more planets and your saves get larger and larger and larger as it's keeping track of all the places you visited. The other thing that they could do is they could say, okay, forget save bloat. We're just going to completely ignore that. And when you leave a planet, it gets erased. And so you basically, when you come back, it's going to regenerate every single time. So that could be cool, with the exception of bases that you've established. It'll save those. So that could be cool. And you could argue that, yes, we are landing on a different position on the planet every single time. That's why the building was here today. That's why it's not here tomorrow, because we're landing on a different part of the planet. So that's a possibility. But at the same time, that would mean that if you find a good place, you basically have to build a base there, because if you don't build a base there, then it's not saved and you'd lose access to that location. So if you do see a location that's interesting, you basically would have to mark it. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but to me, it's something to worry about with the save load issue. The other thing that really it saddens me, it's disappointing. There's no in-atmosphere flight. Basically, you fly your ship, you fly up to a planet, it has a bunch of, you open up your map, there's a bunch of nodes on the planet, you click on the node and you automatically land on that spot. So each planet might have four or five different nodes. And then from there, you have to move out from your ship. And then, yeah, so you can't do a No Man's Sky thing where you go in atmosphere and fly around the planet and look for a good landing zone. You can't do that. All the landing zones are pre-planned out, and then it's just basically a cutscene for you to land or take off. Because this is Bethesda, and they've shown it's doing the same thing we've always had. There's no consistency between the overworld and buildings. You still have to load into buildings. They haven't updated that like you can in, say, Witcher or other things where, you know, you have a seamless indoor-outdoor world. You still have to load into buildings. Now you also have to load into planets. So because of that, you can't do in-atmosphere flight, which to me is disappointing, because it would be nice to be able to land where you want. And you're like, oh, this side of the planet looks a little bit jungly. I want to land over here. Or I want to land in this flat area. You can't do that. It tells you where you're going to land. It also didn't show any sort of land vehicles. So it looks like any sort of traversal on land is on foot currently. Obviously, people are going to make mods for that someday. But for now, it looks like it's purely on foot, which kind of makes me wonder, how big are these worlds? Could I walk all the way around the world, or is it going to say, okay, these are the parameters of how far you can venture from your ship? Or is it just going to say, you can basically walk forever and then fast travel back to your ship, go up into space, and then when you come back down, you're going to come in and do a different zone, and basically it's going to start all over. So that's a question, and for me, it's a little concerning, but not 100% sure. Also, the game on console is locked to 30 FPS. You cannot get 60 FPS on console, only on PC. The reason they said that is because they felt they wanted a stable 30 FPS on... They wanted a stable frame rate. They didn't want to fluctuate. And it can hit 60, but it's not going to consistently hit 60. So they locked it at 30, so it'll be consistently at 30. A lot of people are really upset at this because they said Xbox Series X, it is 4K, 30 frames per second. On the Series S, it's locked at 1440p at 30 frames a second. A lot of people were disappointed because they're like, why don't I have an option to put it at 1080p at 60 frames per second, or even 720p at 60 frames a second? Why is that not an option? Because not everybody's playing on a giant computer. Some people are playing on monitors, and sometimes monitors don't have 4K. Like, for instance, my monitor is still a 1080p monitor. I would prefer to have the 60 frames per second on my 180p monitor than 4K, which I can't even use, and locked at 30K. So there's no option for it. And some people are a little upset that there's no option for that. But who knows? Maybe it'll be patched in the future. Obviously, there's the potential for mods. I don't know how mods are going to work on console how well, but we'll see. And the last thing that's concerning is when you've seen the character animations, it looks really dated. The character animations look pretty sad. So if you've seen like the facial expressions and stuff like that, this makes we talked about Mass Effect Andromeda last week, and these facial animations make the "my face looks tired" meme look really nice, actually. It's pretty sad how bad some of these facial animations look. So that's iffy, but they are using an older engine, and gameplay looks absolutely amazing. If I'm playing it, I don't think this would not destroy my fun. I would still be like, all right, this is fine. I can completely ignore it, but I know there are a lot of people that are going to be upset. Come on, guys. This is a current gen game and it looks this bad. Come on, seriously. There are some other things that are a bit unknown, and those things are, one of them is going to be, you can pick up your crew. So you have your companions like Vasco and other people who are preset characters with their own backstories and everything, and you can get along with them and they can join you. But you can also pick up crew members as you travel the galaxy. You can go to a bar and say, hey, I want you to join my team. Or you can land on a planet and see a guy who's been marooned there and say, hey, you want to join my crew? So you can pick up random people from throughout the universe and have them join your crew. These are not going to be characters with story, so they are going to be fairly limited in what conversations and what they can do, but you can have them. So you can, and you can have them join you in the same sense as a companion. So you can pick up a random dude on some rock and then fly around the galaxy with him and be like, he's now your new companion. He won't necessarily have the story options or the conversation, but he can functionally do everything that they can do. So that's pretty cool. But that is on the iffy side for me because, you know, that's really cool. But at the same time, how often is it going to be used? I don't know, because you do have companions who do have story and that sort of thing. And the other thing is, at the very end, we're probably not going to see it because this trailer is 45 minutes long. But at the very end, there is a scene where the character is in a corridor and they do some sort of force push or shout, Dragonborn shout. And everybody in the room goes, slowly moves out in zero G, and your character walks calmly down the corridor as if gravity still applies to them. So it looks like we're going to be having some sort of weird mystical power things, which early on, one of the big things that Bethesda was really pushing was this NASA punk, where they're like, we want this to be scientifically accurate, and we want it to really reflect a space exploration. But it does look like it's moving more into that sci-fi fantasy of Star Wars and, to an extent, Star Trek and that sort of thing. So it does look like it's not going to be 100% space accurate like in Star Citizen. It does look like we're still going to have a lot of that kind of Bethesda wackiness with magic or quote unquote or that sort of thing. But yeah, it looks really good. I highly recommend checking it out. It is 45 minutes long, but I'm really hyped. I thought this was a really good show.
What do you think, Antoine?
There's one thing that I would love, but pretty sure it's not going to happen. As Alan said, you can park nearby another ship that you don't have. Kill everyone on board, take it to the garage. If you have 25 ships in your garage, what I would really like to see is the companions that you can get and the crew members you can get. Say, you now, you're captain of this ship, and you get out in space with your whole armada behind you. That'd be absolutely fantastic. That'd be great, but pretty sure that's not going to happen.
Yeah, they mentioned that you can have your fleet and you can go into any space dock and you can swap your ships out on the fly. So you can have multiple ships and you can design this one and you can make it as a fighter, and then you can design another one as a freighter, and you can design another one as just a weird looking, let's face it, people are going to do it, giant phallus. And you can do that if you want, and then you can just go to a dock and be like, okay, I want this ship, and just boom, swap it to another ship. But they didn't mention if you could have multiple ships following you at the same time, and yeah, they didn't mention what you can do with ships that are not currently in use. So I don't know if you can set up trade routes with your extra ships or not. It might be a thing, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're just going to stay in the garage until you decide to pick them up. Which is a shame. You know, imagine yourself with 10 ships next to you, like a Pirates of Caribbean, but space version. That's me and my pals are coming to destroy your fleet. It would be great.
I think you could do that in No Man's Sky, right? You could like group ships up and have like your own AI control fleet, if I believe correctly or so.
Maybe one of the updates allowed it. I know you can have your own fleet, but I don't know. They'll defend themselves, but it's like the freighter fleet. It's not the smaller ships, I don't think. Like, your ship is relatively small. You're like a little X-wing size thing, right? But yeah, you do have your bigger freighter ships, but and they will move as a unit and defend themselves. And you can send them out on missions, but I don't think they accompany you because they're not speedy and zippy like you are and definitely can't go in.
I don't think they mentioned it during the show, but did they mention how free some models would be? Because we talked about it in previous podcasts, but Skyrim is still going strong right now, just thanks to the models more consistently making the game always more beautiful, adding companions, adding quests, always adding to the world. And I really wonder if models would be as free on this game as they were, as they used to be, because this game could be absolutely fantastic in 10 years. It could be great now, but with all the modders' talent and ingenuity, it could become a really fantastic game with proper crew members and things like this. So I'm really counting on Bethesda to let, you know, complete wildcard to the modders.
Yeah, no, it should be fine because this engine is actually not a new engine. It's just the old engine with some updates. It's an updated version of the old engine, which you can see, like, Yeah, you can see on the screen right now the facial expressions when they're talking, and it's this looks really dated, and it looks
bad.
Yeah, if you put this next to Hellblade or next to Horizon Forbidden West or a lot of these modern games, they look absolutely amazing. But you look at this, and it's it just looks like a smoother version of the, it just looks like more polygons on the older engine. But that's because it effectively is. It's the old engine, and they've updated it, so it is updated. But because it is the old engine, it should be just as easy to mod as the older one. So there should be zero issue modding this game.
Okay, fair enough. Because that's disappointing when you see from the award winnings, Fallout and Skyrim. This is our big project for the next 10 years. Whoa, we are putting everything we have. So that means we don't have much to put in it. Let's play the game.
I will say, though, outside of conversation, like when you just see people running around and stuff, it does look really good. I think it's just you get into that conversation, you focus in on the face, and it doesn't look great. But when you're backed out and you're running around and you're looking at that, it does look great. They showed some sandwiches that were in a high res, which is, I guess, a big deal. But it does look really good. It's basically just those facial animations that I think are janky, but everything else looks good.
And again, if modders can access the game, they're going to correct this really quick. We are trusting you, modders.
Yeah, so this game is definitely going to be a contender for Game of the Year. I think the only thing, I think Bethesda's biggest competition for Game of the Year is going to be Bethesda, because this game, if it launches the way it's seen and as the way it's intended, I can definitely see this winning Game of the Year. Well over Tears of the Kingdom, which, let's face it, is going to be stiff competition. But it's one of those things.
Time check. We're at 20 minutes already.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
And one story.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. But yeah, so how smoothly is it going to run? Is it going to have any issues with bugs and that sort of thing? That's going to be what holds it back. All right. But moving on.
Antoine, let's go to you.
All right. I want to hear some big yays. Do you guys like Pokemon?
Yay!
Do you guys like guns?
Yes.
Pokemon with guns. Palworld! That is something which we've seen in the Summer Game Fest, and which I think I recall as seen it 2 years ago, right? Yes. So putting it back on the table, this game was supposed to be released in 2022, and then 2023, and so now we are talking about an early access in 2024. But forget all of that and look at the trailer. It looks completely both stupid and fun. Stupidly fun. Just put your ship-like Pokemon behind a massive anti-air gun or put some rockets on your big Pokemon and explore the world. It's a base-building survival game. I don't know, some kind of arc evolved, but in the world of Pokemon with missiles and stuff, it looks so fun. I want to try it. Nintendo must be behind with lawyers to be careful what you're doing, lads. Because they look really much like what we have, and it's under our IP. So just be very careful with the design of your beast. But you can catch beasts, you can make your own buildings, you have lots of open world to discover with your own tame beast. You can, I think I saw some in the trailer there, you have factories with some little fox-like creature making some kind of AK guns. And it's everything you wouldn't wait for. Like, that's weird, but very fun weird. So I want to try that. Yeah, did you see this Pokemon? It looked really not like what you can find. Anyway, Palworld, I don't think it's yet in early access. Yeah, early access, January 2024. If it's not delayed again, but early 2024 is going to be fun, I'm pretty sure. So let's give them a big kudos. I think, Krian, you talk about the fact that this was used to be a Kickstarter.
Yep.
Let's hope they got enough funds to finish the game. That might be the issue, right? Because it looks fun. It got delayed twice, and not by a month, but by years. So did they get enough funds to finish the game? This trailer, I think, is recycled. It's not brand new just for this Game Fest. We don't see much gameplay, to be honest, in there as well. So no idea where the development of this game is. If it's an early access January, then that means we might see a finished game by summer 2024. I hope so if we follow the Diablo schedule, but I'm sure they don't have the team that Blizzard has, of course. So we'll see. But always excited to see this one.
And then what's your thoughts on that?
I've had this one on my wish list for a long time, and it looks much better than some of the older trailers. So we're very excited for this.
Cool. Okay, then with that, I guess we will move on since we have another 7 more stories potentially. Okay. All right, Adam, let's go with my first story, which is City Skylines 2. I'm just waiting for it to load. Okay. All right, did you know that the true successor to SimCity, aka City Skylines, is finally getting a sequel, and you can purchase it now, or pre-purchase it? So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here are 5 things you need to know about this game, City Skylines 2. It is expected to release on October 25th, 2023. But you know what they say about release dates, though, that the simulator goes even deeper. Do you love freaking out optimized traffic patterns? Guess what? There's even more of that boring stuff, exciting for some people. Decisions are going to matter. How much? We don't know yet, but I can imagine maybe impactful world decisions about choosing economic things and that sort of stuff. The minimum specs are pretty decent, right? This is coming from Focus Home Interactive. So even those of you with 5-6-year-old computers, you're going to be able to run it. So I wouldn't worry too much about going to Best Buy and buying a new computer. The pre-purchase price is currently $40 US, or roughly thereabout, depending on what country you're living in. So what are you waiting for? Open that wallet, buy the game right now.
Congrats. Nice shot. Wasn't the first City Skyline a contender for Game of the Year, or was it actually a Game of the Year?
I don't remember. I think it was. You are right. I think it was a contender for Game of the Year, but I think it was like it didn't win. I don't remember what year that was, but yeah. Antoine, did any of you guys play City Skylines? Because I played like 60 hours of this. I enjoyed it. It was the first city game I liked.
A little bit, because I really liked SimCity when I was a kid, but I found it very gruff. Again, I didn't play much, so maybe you're going to correct me, but I found it very much grounded in reality. Like, you create your city and it's fantastic and beautiful. What I really loved in SimCity is like, let's launch a tornado in the middle of your city and raise everything and let's rebuild everything, or let's creep your, you could start the alarm, your natural disaster alarm, just to see everyone running. Oh my God! And not everything's fine, it's just a mayor playing with a button. I really like this little silly aspect, but I do these kind of games. I think that I liked them better when I was a kid. But it's always something that I know I'm going to spend a few, when it's on discount in a few years, I'm going to spend a few hours on it. Maybe not hundreds of hours, but a good 10 hours to see if I can make a proper city and, you know, put a little kindergarten next to the big polluting factory and things like this, and make my residents super annoyed with me. What are you doing? Yeah, I know. I'm a terrible city.
And then quick thoughts?
Yeah, no, I have the original one. I haven't played it. It was one of the free games on PlayStation Plus a while back, but I've always loved these kind of games. The only reason I haven't played it is because it is one of those Zen games that you play to relax, and you can just play it and there's no time limit. There's no beating it. It's just you go. And I just have so many games like Persona or Final Fantasy and stuff that have these kind of set things where I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And this game is one of those ones that always goes in the middle, and just I haven't had any gaps in my backlogs, so I haven't gotten around to it yet. But yeah, really into this kind of game.